Other stations promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
Get ready for the most popular morning show anywhere on the internet. You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Mia, right here on LA Talk Radio. If you'd like to take part in the show today, give us a call at 323-203-0815. And now your program hosts, Sam and Mia.
Good morning and welcome. Okay. There we are. I'm half asleep. I'm thinking of like what a great day it is, you know? I'm like, somebody already wished me happy Thursday, and that's because I had a very lucky last night, let me tell you.
You got lucky last night?
In that way, sorry. Actually, no, I did not get lucky in that way at all. But actually, it was better, I think, because I went to dinner. Mm-hmm. And, you know, nothing fancy. We went to Poquito Mas or something, you know, and we had some stuff there. I get home, and it's luckily down the street. So after that, you know, I get home, and not right away, but after about 10, 15 minutes, I realize my phone's not there. And wow. My phone is usually in a holster on my pants. It's never without me, you know. It's not like right. I leave it on a table or something, you know. Mm-hmm. So the only way I can lose it is if it just falls off my, you know. And if it falls off the pants. So if the clip gets loose or something.
Right.
I'm just trying to explain, you know. Falls off my pants.
Yeah.
But so that's what I thought. I was already in like in my t-shirt and, you know, and sweats and stuff. So I just went like that, rushed to the car, said, please let it be in the car, you know, because sometimes it happened and it was just on the side of the seat. Mm-hmm. So I'm getting there, no phone. I'm like starting to freak out. Mm-hmm. So I took the car. I drove back to the restaurant. I'm pulling up to the parking lot. And lo and behold, my phone in the case is right there on the ground.
Shut up.
Next to where my car was parked. And I was very, very oh, wow. lucky that way. And it's okay. Just drink some water, man. I know. It's like this weather is like it kills me. You know, I mean, I'm like so...
I know.
You know, my
as
nose.
As warm as it is like screwing everybody up.
It is
for me too. Like my nose has been super like stuffed up.
Right.
I've been.
I know. Messed. Mine too. You know, and I've been. You know, the skin is dry and everything, and then you can't breathe, and I've been sneezing a lot too. You know, so I might sneeze actually during the show. And
well, we all know at some point that I do.
So. Yeah, that's true.
There's going to be no surprise there, probably.
Yeah. So anyway, so I found the phone. It was intact, not stolen, not run over. And I was just so glad, Mia. I mean, I was freaking out. I'm like, what am I going to do without my phone? Mm-hmm. You know, because now nobody has like... landlines anymore, you know. So how am I going to call anybody without a phone?
That's true.
You know, so it's really a pain in the ass, and we don't think about it, you know. But I'm going to start, you know, like backing up my phone a couple times a week or something. I think it's really important because our entire lives are on there, you know.
I know.
And
I know.
Then
it's
you
like
worry.
That feeling of like sheer panic.
Right.
Like the moment you can't find it.
Yeah.
Like for girls, you know, it's searching through our purses.
Right, exactly. And you always
it's
find
some
it.
Some other random pocket or something. I'm like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. It was like this like crazy, like overwhelming feeling of anxiety.
Right.
And then all of a sudden it's like, oh my God, oh, okay, it's right here. And then you, it's like the biggest form of relief, like oh my gosh, I can't even explain
what
it.
You mean. And I know often I hear women, oh, I lost my wallet, oh, I lost my keys, oh, I lost my phone, and it's mm-hmm. always lost in the purse, you know. It's not like you leave it anywhere. It's always the same story, you know. So just put it in a, like you said, in a pocket or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's cool. And so I consider myself really lucky. You know, I thought sometimes you can just get lucky in that way, the small things. But right. It was like so important. And I think it was what helped my luck was the fact that it was like 10:15 at night, you know. So
yeah, that's they true. Were closing. It was in a busy parking lot. Nobody exactly. would run over it. Oh, my gosh. That probably would imagine? Have to be like the worst feeling.
Yeah.
It's like to see it like completely just like trashed I know. And broken.
But you know what? I thought that would be better if it just disappeared.
It would be better that than... It would be better to have disappeared
no,
than
if it, no, it's better than if it... No, it's better that it would have been broken than if right. it had been stolen.
Right, yeah.
Because at least then you know, oh, nobody got to my information.
Nobody got your information.
But but still, I mean, I have the finger scan and everything, and there's the access code on the iPhone. So I don't think right. they'd be able to do anything about it. But God, man, it's an expensive phone, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's not just the money, but the fact that all your data is there. And I don't even remember when the last time was that I backed it up.
Right.
Yeah, so I'm going to do that.
I did somewhat recently, but I think I need to again.
Yeah.
I need to start. He keeps saying, your storage is full. You cannot take any more photos. Yeah. I'm like, ah, no. It's like the worst in the world is when you're about to take like a really great picture. So I'm like, oh my gosh, I have to get this. It's so great. And the little thing pops up like, you have no more phone storage.
Wow, you take a lot of.
And it's like.
Yeah. Oh. What do you have? You have a lot of pictures on there, music? What do you have on
yeah,
your phone?
Yeah, I have a lot of. Both, I think. Yeah, I definitely need to clean out my my music box.
Yeah,
because there's a lot of music on there from like when I first got the phone. It needs to be updated.
Yeah, that's funny.
But that's okay.
Yeah,
I'll figure it out.
So I'm also gonna go to Vegas tomorrow.
Yeah,
just for a couple days.
That's right.
But because they have the AVN convention and awards, this is adult entertainment.
Right. And, are you going to run into Erica?
Yeah, I think I'm going to run into Erica and all the other people I know. I know quite a bit of people, you know, just having the station here, all the people that have come through and stuff, or people that you meet at parties and uh-huh. things like that. So, but I always had a brush with the adult industry. You know, I mean, I had like some adult websites when the internet sort of started, you know, and I worked for a company that did like CDs and CD-ROM and stuff. They used to do like before the internet, they had like CD-ROMs that were interactive. That was the only way you could really interact with anything. So, yeah, so I did that, and, yeah, so graphic design and stuff that I did for sites. So I've always had a brush with the industry, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's fascinating. At first I thought, no, I'm not going to go. It's going to be boring. But then everybody's going, and you go, oh, I got to be there too, you know. That's right. Where it's all happening.
Mm-hmm. That's funny. So yeah. what do they do at these kind of conventions? I mean, is well, it just like mostly, a bunch of naked chicks that walk around? Or
well, they don't walk around naked.
Or
they don't walk around naked. I mean, you know, they'd have to wear pasties or something. Mm-hmm. But and obviously bottoms. But many of the booths are just for like sex toys and stuff, you know, movies, and that's what the girls do. They autograph the movies and things like that. So
oh,
it's
like
mainly
the porn stars and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. So it's mainly for them to meet their fans and everything, you know, and know what's going on.
Uh huh.
So and there's a lot of business happening there. Yeah.
And I just try to like picture that, you know, like, oh, know. Hi, nice to meet you. I just want to say I love your work.
Yeah.
I jacked off to you like 42 times or something.
They're
like,
proud of their work, let me tell you, man.
It's like, oh, that's so great. Thank you. I'm so glad you enjoy.
Yeah, so they get awarded for that on Saturday night. They're going to have the awards, which is like the Oscars.
Oh, my God. Yeah, is it like a giant penis or something? Is that what the
I don't know
trophy
what the,
thing
I don't know
like,
what the trophy is like. Yeah, you would think that after all the penises you saw in Chicago and your bachelorette party there.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. But no, I don't know if that's what
it
is.
They were plastic, by the way. Plastic and inflatable penises, I might add.
Yeah. Yeah, she has to clarify.
I do.
Lest we think you're too naughty or anything.
Oh, no, we can't have that.
Yeah. So, but they have like, you know, best blowjob scene, best anal, best double anal, best like DP and all that stuff, you know. So it's like, yeah, you know, I mean, they consider their work significant, you know. I mean, look, everybody has something they pride themselves in. And, Yeah, look, I mean, it's not easy. You know, it can't be easy to do that in front of the camera.
Yeah, no, you know? I couldn't imagine. Really, couldn't imagine.
No, I can't imagine that either. I don't think I could ever do that, you know. And some people do go into it, you know, for the sex. They get a lot of sex and stuff. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I don't know. For the most part, I don't see how you can enjoy it, you know, when people are around you. You have to do all these crazy positions and everything for the camera. And,
yeah,
I don't know. Anyway, you've been exposed to a lot of porn lately. With the show and everything,
I know. I'm like, oh, what? I know. Oh, my virgin ears.
Yeah, well, welcome to the world. You live in the porn capital of the world here. Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
So you might as well be part of it. Anyway, no, I didn't mean it that way. Yeah, just sort of accept it. No, I'd kill you if you went into porn. Are you crazy?
Yeah, no.
That'd be a waste.
I'm not crazy. Yeah. Thank you.
But the amazing thing is some girls that are really normal looking are going into it, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just amazing to me. But, yeah, I mean, you know, they all have similar stories and stuff. But bottom line is, I guess they enjoy sex, so more power to them.
Yeah, more power to them.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm going to be driving in the desert tomorrow, and it should be nice. Yeah, I'm driving. Yeah,
that's cool.
Because all the flights are basically full.
Yeah,
The hotels are mostly booked up. So I got a room at the Bally's, you know, which was it's a pretty nice hotel, but there weren't that many left. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, the rest are like $400 or $500 because they know everybody's in town.
Everybody's coming for the
exactly
thing. Yeah.
So
that's how it was for CES.
Yeah.
I mean, I just felt so bad for any poor sucker that didn't know it was CES and was just trying to go to Vegas just to go to Vegas. And it's just a bunch of people walking around in business suits and lanyards everywhere.
Right. Yeah.
Like, what's going on today?
Yeah.
Well.
But the convention is at the Hard Rock, so I guess they're well-equipped to host events like that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, whatever happens, happens, you know. I mean, I'm just going for one night, and I'm probably not going to be in the hotel that much, so it doesn't matter. Plus, the Bally's is pretty nice. Did you know that it used to be the MGM before there was the new MGM?
No,
Bally's used to be MGM.
I did not know that.
And when I lived in Vegas in the 70s, they had a fire there, and I'll never forget, people jumped out the windows.
What?
And to their death, yeah. And
I
remember
awful.
When that was MGM, yeah. So I don't know what Bally's is like. I mean, I don't really go there, but it sounds pretty good. It's right in the heart of the strip. What the hell?
Hmm.
But at any rate, I'm not going for the hotel. So hopefully I'll report, have some fun, you know, take some pictures and shit. And but I'm not looking forward to going alone, you know. But who are you going to get to go with you to an adult show?
Yeah, last minute. Like, hey, so
yeah,
what
it's
are you
very
doing
last
Friday night? Want to go to Vegas with me? See some naked chicks? Get some awards? Yeah.
Yeah, get some awards. Anyway, let's get to our guest because he's sitting here patiently. And Mia, why don't you go ahead and tell us who you invited to the show today?
Okay. Today on the show, we have Peter Barati.
Uh-huh.
Did I say that right?
Yes.
Okay. Lovely.
Welcome to the show, Peter.
Thank you, Sam.
Of course. You'll want to be closer to the mic, Peter. I'll bring up your mic a little bit. And so welcome to the show.
Thank you.
And so tell us, Mia, how did you guys meet? What does he do?
I actually don't know. I mean, I know we have a lot of mutual friends, but, well, I mean, I know what he does. I don't know exactly how we met, but he's a photographer.
No, tell us. Okay, tell us. So you're a photographer.
Yes.
A professional photographer, yes. Obviously. And you probably have done this for a while, right?
I
mean, yeah.
Yes. You, a long time.
You're not a spring chicken or anything, so.
No.
So you've been around for a while, and you've done a lot of photography, so we'll talk about that.
Okay.
So you don't remember how you guys met? Do you remember?
No, we're trying to figure it out.
Yeah, no, we were trying to figure that out earlier.
How long have you known each other?
Before we started the show, but I know we're Facebook friends. We have a ton of mutual friends.
Oh, okay.
And I know he's, you know, shot a couple of my other friends before, so.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Did you guys do a shoot together, too?
No.
Not yet.
Not yet.
It's in the works.
Yes, but it is. I know.
Yeah,
I was
Mia is totally
out of town
into
forever,
it,
so we were kind of going back and forth, like, oh, this date, no, I can't do this date, you know, so we'll figure it out. We'll come to an agreement one of these dates.
I know, and, you know, I checked out your Facebook page, and I must say that it's very impressive. I mean,
yeah,
I was telling them before the show.
Right?
Yeah, I was telling them before the show, you must have photographed every beautiful girl in the world, you know? I mean, you've got, like, tons of them, right?
Yes.
How many years have you been doing this now?
Well, over 20 years.
20 years of photography or model photography?
Well, mostly model photography.
Mostly.
Yeah.
But you've been doing photography before that, too?
Well, architectural photography. That's what I was. I was an architect, so.
Oh, wow. Yeah. How cool.
So, from buildings to women, so.
Yeah, there you go. So did you get into photography, I mean, into the modeling before? So how long did you do the architectural photography for?
Well, it was really wasn't a professional architectural photography. I was an architect, so I was doing photography on the side of
my projects. I see, okay.
And other people's projects.
And that's how you were learning
to
take pictures?
Well, it was the love of camera and lights and all that stuff. But eventually I got tired of looking at concrete and bricks and, you know, buildings. So finally I moved on to people.
To people.
Subjects that I could relate to.
Yeah. Who can't relate to a beautiful woman? Come
right,
on.
Right.
So you picked the right profession by all means. You know, I'm sure a lot of people would envy doing what you're doing.
Well, I guess, you know, something you like to do and people pay you for it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But when you get started, you have to do some free work, right? I mean, you have to build a portfolio for yourself.
Of course.
So with every business, I think it's like that. You have to give away something in the beginning. So you can build up your business.
Right. Well, making money was not really my main objective. I always thought that I was just like, you know, I'm lucky that I'm just photographing beautiful women and I'm having fun with it.
Right.
And then money just came with it. And I was like, one day you wake up and you go, wow.
Wow.
People pay me for this.
There you go.
So,
yeah. I know. That's how my radio station started too, you know, and it's an amazing thing, you know, when you start making money doing what you love to do. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why many people move to this town, you know, to do entertainment and stuff, because that's what they love to do.
Yeah, of course.
It's so hard, you know.
I started in New York City.
Did you?
Yes.
Is that where you grew up in New York?
Well, that's when I went to school.
Oh, I see.
And went to Hofstra and Long Island, and then moved to Manhattan, opened up my studio. And then it was just too cold and too studio-y, so I wanted to be in the
God's
light, yeah.
Wow.
So I just moved out to California.
Wow. And, you bring up light and everything, and it's so important in photography, right? The lighting. I mean, it's
everything.
Well,
lighting is everything.
It's everything.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. That's why when Elena did the pictures for us, I turned out, you know, my pictures turned out the best they've ever turned out. And she really used the lighting very, you know, it was just outdoors, but she used the lighting so well that almost every picture looks great.
Right.
Yeah, she did.
You manipulate the lighting.
Right. Even the outdoors,
God gives
right?
you the sun and the shadows, and you just manipulate it.
Wow.
In the studio, you just use the, you know, your own lighting system.
Right. You're more
when
in control.
When you're outdoors, you mainly got the sun, and then you can use auxiliary lighting, but I usually just use the sun and manipulate the lighting.
Wow, that's very...
Yeah.
That's interesting. I noticed that some photographers prefer like to do it like when it's cloudy and overcast. Is that true?
Well, it's because it's a shadowless, but at the same time, you might get, you know, other...
Exactly.
Ugliness.
It looks gloomy, you know?
Yeah. Gloomy, yeah.
And you don't get that glow. You know, from the natural sun, it brings out an extra little bit of a glow in your skin.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very, like, natural and pretty.
Yeah.
Right. So how do you pick the models? I mean, do you... obviously, by now, you probably know. Do they come to you now?
Well, of course. I built a name for myself.
Right.
And I don't advertise or anything like that. It's a word of mouth. And you can say that, you know... I got a name in the industry.
Right.
So,
and then you have a huge portfolio, so people just by, you know, naturally are gravitated to you.
Absolutely.
And know they're going to look good doing this. So how long did it take you to actually start understanding all the stuff about lighting and all the intricacies that go with photography?
It took a few years.
Yeah, it's an ongoing thing.
Three or four years. But the thing is, it's a learning process.
Right.
Almost even now it is. You know, every day you learn something new, even though you think you know it all, but you still you still see things, you know, that are new to you.
Right.
And that's the beauty of it.
Right.
The day that you think that you know it all, then it becomes boring.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, I think it's all in the skill because, I mean, somebody can have the same equipment as you do, but they're not going to take the same pictures as you. That's why I always say that photographers are like painters, you know, right? Because essentially you're framing the picture, you're looking for the subject, you're taking, you know, a look at the color, at the lighting and everything. You're painting a picture, you know. That's why the picture is not so much about the model as it is about the photographer.
Absolutely.
Would you say?
Well, equipment has nothing to do with...
Right.
I always say you can give a Ferrari to somebody who doesn't know how to drive it and it'll crash it.
Right.
So giving the best camera to the guy doesn't know what to do with it, it's not going to turn out to be a good picture.
Right.
So I would say it's the Indian, not the arrow. So basically,
right. there you go. Yeah. So so let's focus a little bit about the model photography because that's very fascinating to me. And Mia, you started at an early age modeling and everything, right?
Yeah.
And then you just decided you're going to pursue it now seriously, right?
Are you? Yeah, no,
yeah, because you should. Like, you know, I mean, everybody thinks she's like, yeah. I mean, you see a lot of beautiful women.
Mia's beautiful.
And stuff. She's like gorgeous, right?
You can't see it on the radio, but
that's
sure.
Okay. They know what she
whoever
looks like.
Knew,
and
know
I very commonly get the joke like, "Oh, you do not have a face for radio."
Yeah.
And I love it because every guy that says it thinks that they think that this is my first time hearing it. You know, like they think they're the first like snappy comeback. You know, to get that through to me, and it's like. I've never heard that one before. Good one. It's a very common like line that is used if I'm like talking to somebody like, oh, so what do you do? I'm like, oh, I am actually a radio talk show host, blah, blah, blah. Uh-huh. They're like, oh, really? Well, let me tell you, you do not have a face for radio. Like, ha, 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 thanks. It's just kind of funny.
Yeah, I know the lines that people use.
Bring it up. But no, it's cute. I mean, I guess, you know, in a way, it never gets old because it's a very nice compliment.
Right.
But, yeah, and she's very young.
Yeah.
Yeah, most people that are in this business of even television, you know, they're, Mia's just, you know, just gorgeous and very young.
Right. So she still has her whole life ahead of her.
Absolutely.
And, you know, that's why she's destined to a huge career, you know. And maybe you'll help her with it, you know, take
absolutely.
Some killer
I'd
love pictures.
To. Yes.
Now, I saw in many of your photos, it says model and then your hat says model.
Right.
What's model?
Well, that's my brand, American Model.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's a brand that I actually
have developed. Is that
what
it says in
developed.
The O? Like
yes.
In the O, there's like little words. It says
American.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
I see it. So I get the logo.
Yeah. So basically, that's a, kind of a watermark on my pictures, so they cannot be stolen or used. And also, I don't really have to put my name on any of these photos because people know who they belong to.
I see.
So American Model is just a brand of my company.
That's very good. That's
a good
very
idea.
Cool. Yeah. So we're talking to Peter Baratti, and he's a photographer. And if you guys want to check out some of his photographs, go to peterbaratti.com, BARATTI. And there's definitely, I mean, it's just like very impressive. It's like, now, were these used in like magazines and stuff many times? Because most of them look like magazine covers.
Well, yes, most of them actually shot for magazines.
I see.
So different magazines, different countries, different formats. But the photos, if you take everything off of it and it's a bare photo, it has appeared in a lot of publications all over Europe. U.S.
Very nice.
Yeah, Asia.
Yeah. So when you take photographs, do you take them... I mean, is there any way where the magazine will come to you and tell you this is what we want you to photograph? Or is it that you take the photographs because you want to and then you sell it to the magazine?
Well, it's both ways.
Both?
Sometimes magazines, the art director tells you what they want and what you have to... Especially when it comes to shooting advertisements. So you have an art director that tells you exactly what they want things done,
okay.
The lighting. And then there are editorials that you have more freedom into. So sometimes you do things that you want to do. Like, let's say I wanted to photograph Mia.
Right.
And I can submit her to FHM, Maxim, whatever magazine there is that I want to.
Right.
You can do it that way. Or magazines hire you. what the models they have in mind.
I see. Okay, and then you take pictures of these models. Right. I see.
So it goes both ways.
Right. Wow, that's pretty amazing. How many models have you worked with? Like hundreds, thousands? I mean, that's like a lot of pictures.
I lost count. I have my coffee table book, the first volume just came out, and I'm putting the second and the third one. And these books are 500 pages each.
Oh, my God.
So, wow. And we're talking about just a selected photos that I have put together. We're talking about probably millions.
Millions?
Millions,
wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Millions of what? Of models?
Millions of models.
Millions of
Come
models.
Come on. Come on.
Well,
that would average look. If you're talking 20 years, okay? So that's...
Well, you're shooting every day. Shooting every day. Sometimes you're shooting over 5 or 6 people a day.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
And sometimes
you're busy.
Yeah. Shooting group shoots are different shoots. That you're shooting 20 to 30 people.
Wow.
I might exaggerate to a million, but, it's so beyond thousands that I just can't give you a number.
It'd be even hundreds of thousands.
Yeah. I just want to show an example really quick to Sam. Sam, you know who that is.
Yes, that's Ina.
Yes. Oh, good job. Yeah.
Well, she put the picture on Facebook. That's
this
how
is his
this.
Photo.
Really? Wow, she looks amazing. Yeah,
I love
well,
this
she's
one.
Pretty anyway.
Ina?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, she's great. I just. Oh my gosh, Oh my gosh, it's such a cool shot. It's like one of my favorites ever.
Right.
She put that up there. I'm like, oh my God, who is the photographer? It's amazing. When I've been like on my phone searching for that photo, I'm like, I have to find it. I have to show them. But yes.
Well, so, she's a beautiful
girl.
I
love that one.
Right. Yeah. And many beautiful girls in L.A. That's probably why you moved here, right?
A lot of subjects. Actually, I came here really for the sun and the surf and all that stuff.
Oh.
And I just knew that the Hollywood was here. But, of course, when I got here,
it's all beautiful people here.
Huh? Yes. And I've also noticed you have a helmet here. Did you take a bike here?
Yes, I took my moped here today because I figured it's going to be 85 degrees. I hardly ever, get out and said, hey, I'm going to go to the valley.
Yeah, why not? In a moped? Are you serious?
Yeah, I took the Sepulveda Pass, and it was beautiful. Oh, like 30 miles an hour, and we were looking at all the beautiful L.A.
What a cool way to travel through L.A.
Yeah. I was just curious. I saw the helmet, and I'm like,
And I figured if I took my car, I probably wouldn't get here on time. So. Rush hour.
Yeah, that's funny.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Now, I wanted to ask you, because... Mia and I, we talked about modeling on the air and everything, and she said that she's not tall enough, right? But that's one of the things you said. But that's like
That's for runway.
That's for runway stuff.
Different kind of
but
model.
Obviously, when you do like portraits and body shots and stuff, you don't need to be tall, right?
No, you don't.
No.
You
don't.
No, this is a misconception with most girls. As soon as you say, well, do you want a model? Goes, well, I'm not tall enough. Everybody equates modeling to walking on runways in Paris and Milan and New York.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And they don't understand that most of those models are not really pretty.
Right.
One-way models are just made for clothing.
Like mannequins.
Like hangers.
They're just a hanger.
Right. Models that actually do photography and print are people like Mia.
Right.
And they're beautiful. They don't have to be tall. They got great shapes. And look at Victoria's Secret.
Right.
They use girls that have figures now, that have curves. And they know that fundamentally, everybody loves a beautiful face and a beautiful body.
Right.
It's not about being 6 feet tall. Most people that are tall.
Or that skinny, right?
Yes.
I mean, many of them get like too skinny where it's like.
Nobody finds that attractive.
Right.
So what is attractive is the curves, the beauty, everything that, a perfect woman should have.
Right.
There is no perfect woman.
And the personality, because personality comes through
exactly.
photos,
That's true, it does, and the expressions and everything in the pictures.
Yeah, nobody goes to a fashion show for
personality. Yeah, on the runway. It's not, they all got the same look on their face,
And, of course, these models that we talk about, the print models, they can be great for TV commercials because of their ability to show... Personality.
And
so
character.
If they're pretty and they have personality, they actually can do both print and TV commercials.
Right.
And obviously film.
Right.
So
now, do you use any video in commercials, or do you do just still photography?
Well, I do video. I do music videos. I'm starting to get into the music video because photographers are very sought after because of their vision,
right?
For music videos.
Oh wow!
So in the years before, you know, a lot of fashion photographers have done music videos, right. But it hasn't really been my favorite medium. But you know, eventually, I want to get into that.
Yeah. But you're comfortable with still photography.
Oh, of course, Yeah. That's, you know.
You can totally control everything in the picture.
Absolutely, wow. Absolutely. And yeah. Editing is, God, I have to reveal my age, but I think I was about 22.
Oh, 22. So yes. You weren't a little kid. I mean, you came here.
No, well, I came here when I was, you know, coming of age and going to college and all that
awesome.
Stuff.
Awesome. And so you decided you want to come to America to go to college?
Was that a conscious family decision? Had moved to from Italy to Germany. And instead of me moving to Germany, I decided that I wanted to move to America. So,
wow.
So I came down here and
stuff. I mean, a profound change, right?
Absolutely.
Kodak is out of business, for crying out loud.
Kodak,
you know?
Agfa.
Agfa are gone.
You name it.
Fujifilm, right? Are they still around?
Well, they're getting into the camera business. They're trying to get in the digital business of some sort.
Right.
So,
and not everybody made it. I mean,
Kodak didn't make it.
Yeah, wow. Kodak,
They were like...
And they were the biggest.
Brand.
They were the biggest, yeah.
Wow.
I know.
Yeah, they were the name of photography. And
right.
Now companies that are totally unknown coming out.
Right, with digital cameras.
It's totally a different world.
Right, mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
And that's just the thing. I mean, look, I think photography has been cheapened in a way because everybody takes snapshots with their phones and everything.
Yeah, everybody's got their phones. So not even like, you know, digital cameras, like Canon cameras or stuff like that are, you know, not quite as popular because everybody uses their phone for everything.
Right.
See, these days I have to compete with grandfathers and grandmas.
Exactly. But I don't think you're competing with them because I think it's a good thing because then what you do really stands out, you know.
Well, that's
amateur stuff.
Yes,
you know.
It's almost like I said, you know, making Ferraris instead of $1 million, they're making them to be $5,000. So everybody's going to buy them.
Right, exactly.
But they're going to
see
crashes.
But then it's not a Ferrari anymore.
Yes, it's not a Ferrari anymore.
Right.
So I think the reason that still, you know, big companies, magazines still search for professional photographers,
right?
Not the ones that just bought the most expensive cameras.
Obviously,
because you can go rent those at any time. I don't even own top of the line cameras or lighting, because I think this is in my seminars. I usually teach the kids in photography schools about it's not the camera, it's you. It's your mind. It's how you have to see the light.
Right.
It's not what kind of camera you use and how much you spend on your lighting. If you went to a photography studio that they gave you all that equipment, you just wouldn't know what to do with it.
Right, exactly.
So if it's not in your head, if the vision is not right, if you can't see the light, then you can't photograph.
Right. And that's the thing, you know. I mean, I think with the digital revolution and everything, you know, like they started with like spreadsheets and stuff, you know, being able to do things, then desktop publishing, which meant you could actually print documents that look great, looks like print. Mm-hmm. And so people started making flyers and business cards and everything, and it all looks crappy, you know. So the same with pictures as well, you know. I mean, they've empowered people to be able to do a lot of things, but then people do a lot of amateur work with it. So, which comes back to what you were saying, and that is, you can have the tools, but it doesn't make you a professional.
No.
It doesn't make you good. You know, it's just a tool.
Right.
And almost like when you build a house and you use the hammer and stuff, the hammer's not going to make you a good builder.
No. No, the equipment just facilitates. Like, let's say years ago, you had the camera and you had the film. And you would see the results in 3 days. So when you were clicking that shutter, you had no idea what you were taking. Well, if you give that camera to any of these photographers these days that go buy a camera, say, take a picture, they wouldn't know how to take pictures.
Exactly.
They have to look at the picture right away. If it's bad, take another one. Take another one. Take another one. But those days, we only had 36 shots on a film, and we were paid for that.
Right.
So you couldn't waste any of those frames.
Right.
So you had to know each frame was perfect because... It would cost you about $30 to $40 per roll to process.
In
those days, if you were not making that kind of money, and you were just wasting it, then you would be out $300-$400 without getting a good shot.
Yeah, exactly. Not only that, but you spent all this time and you didn't get the shot you wanted.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And then guess what? And you had wasted everybody's time, makeup artist, stylist, model, and then you had to call everybody and say, okay, come back. Yeah, I want to shoot you again because nothing turned out. So that would be the last day you would work.
Exactly, exactly. We're talking to Peter Baratti, Fotografia. I love that because that's in Italian, right?
Yes.
And the brand is Model, or American Model. And you guys can go to peterbaratti.com and check out some of the pictures. Also, go to his Facebook page. There's a lot of great pictures there. I mean, I was just trying to figure out what you look like, but there's not even one picture of you. It's all the
stuff there are some pictures of me on Facebook.
Really?
Yes. I don't know why people want to see a picture of me. I guess it's a visual world now.
It is. It's very visual.
Just like an artist of music, you know, people want to see them, what they look like now to compare with their music.
No, absolutely. Yeah. You know, I mean, everybody's got to see what people look like in dating sites and everything.
Right.
And
right.
Even on our website, we put a lot of pictures so people know what we look like because
well,
they can only hear
looking
us.
People. That's
yeah, there you go. let's talk about Mia for a second. I'm going to put you on the spot, but I mean, she's like exceptionally beautiful, right? I mean,
absolutely.
It's not like,
she's
it's like memorable, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Especially so, for talk radio.
Exactly. So how do we make her like a big model now? I mean, what would you do if you met someone? I mean, and you do. You meet beautiful women all the time. Do you meet many that had not done modeling before?
Absolutely. Another thing is that most people think that they're all beautiful and they wait a long time because they procrastinate about, oh, well, you know, I'm going to do it today. I'm going to do it next week, next year. But the thing is, it's a very time-sensitive business.
Right.
So if you have the looks and you have the age, young age, you have to act on it, get it done, because it's not like school that you can go to it maybe after 30.
You're not going
to
last forever.
Right, yeah. Right. No, don't have any babies. Don't get pregnant. Don't get stretch marks. Don't get, sometimes they do that and go, well, I got that out of the way. Now I want to model.
Yeah.
I say, no, you're doing it backwards.
Yeah.
You've got to do all that stuff beforehand, and then if it fails or if you do it and you don't want to do it anymore, then do other things that you think that you should be doing as a woman.
Yeah, yeah. You see, there you go. Don't get pregnant. That's the first thing, okay?
Exactly.
So use protection. That's got to be your top business career decision.
Yeah, don't get bored with life and they go, well, a child is going to spice it up.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, if people bring it up, I'm like, you kidding me? Like, I want to ruin this body?
No,
I don't think so.
No, I don't think so.
I can be a little bit selfish about that, okay?
Right.
No, it's good to be selfish. Make your money. Set yourself, up there, you know, with the rest of them, and then go on and do whatever you want to do.
Right.
When
right.
It's not really important to be, you know, you can be a mother or you can be at almost any age, but, you know, for modeling, you have between the age of 16 to about 27 the most.
Mm-hmm. And then it starts being niche photography and stuff like older women or...
Of course, but almost agencies
mothers.
Have different categories for modeling, which, you know, go young mom or, you know, housewives and things that you do for lifestyle photography.
Yeah.
But mm-hmm. you want to really be like sexy photography. People love sex.
Right. And they
love
young,
sexy,
too.
Young women.
Right.
Okay. Don't think that, you know, oh, yeah, I'm still 30 and I'm still hot. No.
It's not the
Nobody
same.
Nobody wants a hot
30-year-old. Maybe if you're doing skincare for like Olay or something like that.
Yeah, even that, you have to retouch your photo.
Yeah. Out of Photoshop there.
So how is she going to break out? I mean, does she need a good manager, a good agent, a good photographer?
Well,
what
of
does
course,
it take?
She needs a good photographer. She needs the good photos. And then, of course, the way she looks, the way she is, I don't see any difficulty for her to find an agent or a representation.
Right.
And, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. See, I'm telling you. I mean, you got 2 years
like
left. You better hurry up.
I still got a few years to go, you know. But it's something that I haven't lost, you know. It's been so long. And I'm thinking, oh God, really? I'm doing a photo shoot again? I'm like, all right, I'll pull it together. I'll do my best. But by the end of it, just how much like positive feedback I got. People like, wow, like you do this all the time. Like, how much do you charge for a half day shoot? How do you do for this and that? And I'm thinking, what? Like, I'm just stepping back in. Like, this is my first photo shoot in years, you know? Right. They're like, well, you would never know. They're like, you just know what to do. You know where to look. You know how to pose. I'm like, really? Okay. You know, I guess it's like riding a bike, you know? I never really lost it. I still got a knack for
well,
it.
Well, since
so it's
I'm
like,
here today,
okay.
I'm going to actually give Mia the best and the shortest cut. I think Mia should be doing a 12-month calendar of herself.
Oh.
And I'm sure that she has enough followers on this show.
Oh, she would after the calendar.
They would love to buy her calendars. And next time they listen to her on the radio, they can just flip through
and look at
those pages and do whatever they have to do.
Fantasize.
Oh, my goodness. I was on a Hooters calendar.
Yeah.
You should. No, you should have your own calendar as LA Talk Radio Mia calendar.
Yeah.
And I think that is... you know, that's a natural way, I think.
Y'all know what I sound like.
Exactly.
Now see what I look like.
in her bikinis and whatever else, you know.
So. And and Mia, don't look at it as like something that's not like respectable enough or, you know, not like classy enough. I mean, because you're saying, oh, no, I don't want to do modeling again and stuff. But... I mean, now is your time. You don't have to do it forever.
Right.
Do it for a couple of years or something. You know, get really... and then that would help you with acting, too. I'm sure it will.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure it will.
Well, the reason most of the models that they're even like 22 years old, they go, well, I did it when I was 16. I don't want to do it anymore. It's like almost like you look back at their past and they go... Well, you really haven't done anything.
You haven't had that much opportunity.
That's the reason that they think that they're just wasting their time. Even though everybody tells them every day that how great they are, but for some reason they haven't found the path, and they have quit.
Right.
So the thing is, you have to find that path.
Right.
And you have to be lucky to find somebody, maybe, to show you the path.
Exactly. To guide you. Exactly.
Then you maybe, then you go, wow, look at me.
Right.
I found it. I'm going to do it again.
Right.
A lot of people quit at the age of 21, 22 just because... Nothing has happened.
They don't want
to
do it anymore.
It's not because they don't want to do it anymore. It's just they think that they're not going anywhere with it.
I see. Okay. They don't think maybe they're good enough or it's not like a good career.
Because when the whole world tells you you're beautiful and you know they're not lying to you because you know you are.
Right.
You just don't have the inner spirit.
Right. You don't believe anybody if you don't have the confidence, right?
It's just like most pretty girls think that they're ugly. Why?
Right.
Because... when they look in the mirror, they don't see what people see.
Right.
They see all the flaws.
Right. Yeah, that's true. You're very right about that.
Yeah.
And that's unfortunate.
And most of the time, it's not really flaws.
Right.
It's just women have this thing about beauty that's... even supermodels sometimes, you know, one of the best questions somebody asked a supermodel, I think it was Linda Evangelista, they said, you must get tired of people telling you you're beautiful every day. He goes, no, they don't tell me that enough.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Because the more they hear it, the more they want to hear it.
Right.
And then
the
more they think they're not pretty.
Right.
And
wow.
It's just a vicious cycle.
Yeah, it is. And look, I mean, it's no wonder that women are under so much pressure because men do value young, beautiful women, you
of
know,
course.
So everybody wants to look like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, they get to the 30s, 40s, they start doing surgery and getting work on themselves and they only look worse. You know? And, you know, somebody pointed out to me something. Did you notice that when people get like a facelift or some work on their face, like cheeks and stuff, they get the Joker smile, right? Yeah. Did you ever notice that?
They become,
you know what that is? I was never, no, but they get like the Joker, like they look like the Joker. They have this like sort of a triangle here. And I never noticed that before, you know? I didn't know there was a name for it.
Yeah, I have not seen anybody after plastic surgery looking like human.
Right, exactly,
They all look... something left like a between a human and an alien of some sort, and they think that they are looking better,
right?
And that's why you should never do plastic surgery and then go into modeling.
Right. You got to do it before, right? Even when you think you're ugly.
Because if you don't have, okay, if you have a crooked nose, you want to fix it. If you want a breast implant, yes, those things. But, you know, pulling your face and then getting rid of your
implants
eyelids
and stuff. And, like cheekbone implants.
Pulling and pushing and right. pumping your lips.
And the collagen in your lips. Only that was an inside joke to my mom.
That is a terrible thing to do.
Collagen in your lips. It's an inside joke. I just had to throw it out there. If you're listening, Mom, I know you're laughing. Sorry. Anyway. Yeah, but, you know, it's funny because people have asked me that before. Like, oh, like, who's your doctor? Like, who's worked on your face? I'm like, no one. They're like, your lips and your nose. I'm like, yeah, but I feel like you'd be able to tell.
God is a good plastic surgeon, too, you know?
Yes, exactly. And I've said that before. They're like, oh, who? I'm like, God and my parents. Yeah. They are the reason why I look the way I do. Thank you very much. If you have any questions, you can ask them.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, this is only in LA that, you know, you see somebody with nice breasts and they're real.
Right.
And you can tell they're real because you can. And most people ask you who's your doctor?
Right.
And people in LA, you go to other cities and, you know, smaller places in the U.S., people don't. You go to Europe, nobody asks you that.
Right.
Only in L.A., even a good nose, obviously, it's been done, right? Mm-hmm. Right. No. You know.
Really? Wow,
no,
that's real.
It's my nose.
Yeah, exactly.
It's my lips.
My nose is broken. It used to be perfect. It's not anymore, but it used to be.
God has created pretty people too, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. There's room for everybody. So tell people again how they can get a hold of you. Have you launched models to a little fame after that?
Absolutely.
Really?
That's another thing that I got to tell you. I have Carrie Otis, which was the first guest model and the one that was married to Mickey Rourke.
Right.
And yes, she was the first guest model that I shot for, guest jeans for Paul Marciano. And then I found the second guest model that replaced Claudia Schiffer. And Anna Nicole Smith, it was Julia Vallee from, I found her at the airport in Germany, in Hamburg, when I was leaving.
Really? And you just walked up to her and you said, wow.
Holly Madison, I found her. She was my waitress at Hooters restaurant in Santa Monica.
Really?
And she begged me for months and months to get her to Playboy Mansion. But Holly, it's talk radio, so it's out there. I don't want to say anything bad, but Holly was not,
she wasn't into it or didn't have the right personality?
Holly was good, but I never thought of Holly as a supermodel type.
I see, okay.
But, you know, I shot Holly and I took her to Mr. Hefner, and she was lucky that he liked her.
Yeah.
For whatever reason.
Awesome.
And she became a lucky woman to have her own show, have her own fame. And the list goes on and on and on and of people that I have found. And I always get a kick out of finding new faces.
Right.
I mean, to find somebody who's already somebody and photograph her and say, well, I shot her. Then to somebody that I created her. She was nobody.
Right.
I picked her up and I made her. It just gives you almost like a godlike.
Yeah, like an amazing feeling.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Well, Mia,
next
you
up, get, Mia Doran.
Yeah, there you go.
That's my next project.
Yeah. You found your key to stardom right there. You know?
Well, we're going to start at the talk radio. And then, like I said, all the listeners are going to be probably like bombarding her with like requests of when is the calendar coming.
That's true. Yeah. Come out with the calendar. We'll sell it over the air.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, my.
So tell people how they can get a hold of you again if you're beautiful and you want to make it.
Yeah. www.peterbaratti.com. That's BARATTI.com. Or you just put my name, Peter Baratti, on Google and you find a whole bunch of good stuff and bad stuff.
Now, so. If somebody wanted to come to you and they're not model type or anything, can you be commissioned to do like a shoot for a certain amount of money and stuff?
Of course, if they have money, everybody works for money.
Absolutely. That's why I said if they have money.
Yes. Well, I still pick and choose the ones that I want to work with. But,
you're probably overkill for amateurs, though. I mean, you're the professional.
Yeah, when I get to the amateurs, I kind of like keep my eyes really wide open to see who's got what it takes, you know.
Yeah.
But if somebody got a bunch of money wants to spend on a good photo shoot, then hey,
yeah, why not?
They can always get a hold of me.
Yeah, yes. Exactly. A rich man with a wife and she wants an intimate shoot or something. Yeah. There you go. All right. Peter Barati, thank you so much. You're fascinating.
Thank you very
much.
All
the best to you.
Me.
And now we expect you to make me a star. So
yes,
there you
absolutely.
Go. I'm going to put you on a timetable there.
Okay.
Oh,
thanks, you guys.
Okay. Thanks, Mia.
Thank you.
By the way, guys, we're going to be out tomorrow. So we'll see you on Monday,
yeah.
Right?
Have a great weekend.
Bye.
You have been listening to Sam in the Morning with Mia, which airs every Monday through Friday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. If you have a question for the show or if you'd like to inquire about sponsorship opportunities, please send an email along to sam@latalkradio.com. Sam in the Morning with Mia is a production of LA Talk Radio, where we say what we want.